Summer is festival season in Wisconsin. Since we only have a few months of good weather, we tend to do a pretty good job of making the most of it. We've got music festivals, county fairs, and even the state fair. But on a more local level, there's one tradition alive and well in many Milwaukee neighborhoods, the annual church festival.
For those looking to have a good time in the city, it seems there's a church festival happening just about every weekend through the summer. Through the years, a very uniquely Wisconsin culture has sprung up around those festivals. That's what our next guest set out to explore.
Joining us now is Ron Faola. He's a Milwaukee-based filmmaker, and his latest documentary, Tilt-A-Whirl's Cowbells and Beer, premieres tonight on Milwaukee Public Television. Ron, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So let's start off by playing a clip from the documentary, and this is one of the festival organizers that you spoke with talking about the uniqueness of this church festival phenomenon. Here it is.
I think being in Milwaukee, because there's a lot of these festivals, people are very much more in tune that there is actually live music and festivals and places to go and just relax and have a good time, where around the country there's not as much of that in any way, shape, or form.
So how did this become such a Milwaukee tradition?
I think it's because of the organization that these churches go through to put on their festivals and get their vendors. It's called CFC, a Council Festival Committee, and they have an annual trade show in January. And all festivals that are members of CFC, including church festivals, get their everything. It's like one-stop shopping for everything, from porta-potties to tents and bands and beer and so on. And I don't think any other city has this organization or organized like this.
And why are the churches hosting these festivals in the first place? What are they accomplishing with them?
It's, basically a fundraiser for the parish, but it's also a way for the parishioners and the local neighborhood to come in and just have a good time. It's free. Prices of food and drink are pretty decent. And you get to see some cool bands or your favorite polka band or whatever it is, you know.
So you've got all these church festivals going on in Milwaukee. What are the common denominators that they have in common?
Some have rides, some don't have the space for that. So they all have bands of some sort and games anywhere from, spot game to games for kids where they get a little prize or you pull the candy out of a thing and you get a prize and all sorts of stuff. And it's really family oriented. You can bring everybody over and in the movie they call it asphalt cuisine. You can have your burgers and brats and so on, and then Friday fish fry and Sunday chicken dinners.
And it seems like from some of the people you talk to, there are some festival fans who really make the rounds and they know the favorite bands and when they're playing at all the festivals. Are there aficionados who try to hit all of these in the summer?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's that really sweet couple that are polkateers, and they're going to turn 80 this year, and they're out there dancing every weekend at church festivals. They say that they go to two or three a weekend when they can.
One thing you kind of get at in your documentary is what you could see as sort of a disconnect between these being church festivals and the amount of drinking that goes on at these festivals. There are even these T-shirts that say "Drinking for Jesus." How do people kind of reconcile all that?
That's the weird part. We never had anybody, when we mentioned the Drinking for Jesus, we didn't have anybody say, "I really hate that," you know. I think it's just part of the thought process of that this is, the money's going to the church. So, you know, I want to have a beer. That's great. The church gets the money. So
talking to Ron Faola about his new documentary, Tilt-A-Whirl's Cowbells and Beer. Now, one thing I learned from this is these festivals can be a gamble. As you said, it's partly for community, but it's also a fundraiser. A lot of money goes in up front, and then if you've got bad weather, you've got a problem. So are people up late at night worrying what it's going to turn out like the next day?
Absolutely. And there's stories of festivals that had a storm come through and tear up the tents and knock over heavy machinery and things, and or the place turns into a big muddy field, you know, that kills your profit. And it also, you can buy rain insurance, but there's a, it's really unique, and the way they do it is kind of not worth, you know, doing that because it just doesn't pay. But there's certainly some very, you know, big risks involved.
One part of the culture of these things that we haven't talked about yet is the prominence of the polka. It seems like there's polka bands, people polka dancing, references that go back to the polka mass, which sort of ties in there. Can you talk about the polka?
Yeah, there's even the polka plate at one of the festivals. It was just a sausage. But the polka is big, and the polka masses are unique, and it started in the 70s up in Minnesota, and people like going to those. It livens up the service a little bit, and then after they're done, they go out and have chicken dinner and they'll dance. You know, the polka band will go out and play too, and that's when, you know, and people just, that's a common denominator for music-wise, at least during the afternoon and especially like on Sundays.
And you followed one church's festival. It was going to be its last festival. I believe it was the St. Veronica Parish. There are challenges facing these festivals. Others have been on and off over the years. What are some of the challenges facing them these days with keeping it going?
The two major challenges, especially for St. Veronica's, was getting volunteers, number one, and the other one was the insurance and safety codes that they had. They lost a tent because of this new safety regulation, so they, instead of having two band tents, they only have one. They have a lot less space, but the volunteer thing is the hardest part, and nobody wants to volunteer. You know, you get people that'll say, "Yeah, I'll do the bartending, sure," but you don't. You know, people don't want to pick up garbage or stay up late at night doing the cleanup and stuff. So that's pretty. That's a major point there.
Well, would you consider these church festivals endangered, or are they doing okay in Milwaukee?
They're doing okay, certainly. We've lost many of them since, you know, in the last 25 years. There's a lot more stricter drunk driving laws, and people don't spend as much as they used to, but people will still keep going. And even if the festivals downsize a little bit, people will always keep going to a church festival.
Now, you mentioned that conference where people go for that one-stop shopping. I had to say, if I needed a Tilt-A-Whirl, I wouldn't know where to book one, or Port-A-Johns, or family-friendly musical performances. This is quite an event. What all can the visitors find there?
It's great. There's, you know, just like any sort of convention, there's booths with the porta-potty guys and the rides, the midways, there's even like wine and beer guys, and they give you samples, and sausage companies, and you, hey, try this and try that. And it's a lot of fun, and it's in the winter. It's not on a weekend when the Packers are playing, so they get a big turnout, and that's the key there is they can make their deals and they're done. They don't have to spend 6 months, you know, calling individually all these places and getting bids from everybody. They can pretty much make their deals that day.
So they may get a lot of the shopping done at this one-stop shop you talk about, but it seems like a lot of the food, at least the fish fry, is made by hand, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of food is made by the volunteers. They rely on their parishioners to come in and help with the fish fry. The Knights of Columbus come in at certain church festivals to do the fish fry. There's also a church, St. Florian's, that has a really good fish fry, and they go around to other festivals themselves and make the fish fry for them. So it's very friendly that way.
And we haven't gotten into the music, another big part of this. One of the band guys, I think, said, hey, we're here to play covers that people want to hear. We're not playing original stuff. There are some bands that are rock stars of the festival scene.
Absolutely, yeah. You have Rhythm Method, which is an interesting name for a church festival band. But, you know, and they're hugely popular, and they have an offshoot band called Light Up, which does all Styx covers. But these people, when they're hiring the bands, they're looking for the band that's going to sell the most beer. So, I mean, they, you know, obviously they want a good act, but they're not saying, boy, I really like, you know, this guy who plays the banjo over here. They're looking for the band that's going to draw the most people in and, you know, serve a lot of beer.
Well, it's a lot of fun. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was filmmaker Ron Faiola. His new documentary looks at church festivals in Milwaukee. It's called Tilt-A-Whirls, Cowbells, and Beer. It premieres tonight on Wisconsin Public Television.